Well, good evening. Welcome to Follow Christ's Pattern. And we've been going through Romans. We're up to part 42 in our study of Romans, and we find that in Romans 12, we're going to pick up in Romans 12, verse 9. Do I have sound? Can you hear me all right? We're going to pick up in verse 9, and Paul had just gone through mentioning some gifts of the Spirit that were in the church. One chapter after he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, and they of course had many gifts. It was a unique situation, and we showed that. That was part 41 of Romans, and he lists another group to the Romans, another group of gifts. No indication that it's partial. It's less than in a chapter earlier. And when I say a chapter, I'm talking about a chapter in Acts, using Acts as a time marker. But 1 Corinthians written in Acts 19, Romans that we're studying written in Acts 20. Verse 3. So let's get to the text of Romans 12:9. We have a section here about actions that result from the unity of the body of Christ. In other words, the way the body will act as a result of being unified together. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation just means cunningness or feign, pretend. It's the opposite of genuine. It's kind of like to put on airs. So let love be without dissimulation, which is pretending. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So you have love and to abhor something, and to cleave or to hold on to something. What you should love and what you should stay away from in order to be able to love. Cleave to that which is good is the heart of what he's saying there. Cleave to that which is good, and you'll abhor that which is evil. Paul has more exhortations. Let's go to verse 10. Be kindly affectioned to one another, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I think we have an inkling what that means. We're just going to go through these verses and take heed. That's the point. Don't go thinking that, you know, I've heard that before. I do my best. You know, we need to apply Romans 6, 7, and 8 here when we get to Romans 12, because in between was about why we can't come to God Israel's way anymore. It's talking to all that be in Rome about Israel and why there's a different plan of salvation now from God revealed to Paul for us. So Paul's talking about brotherly love here, and that's not talking about household feuds and brothers in households that sometimes have these feuds, but brotherly love is an exercising of a warm, affectionate love for each other, a caring for each other. Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. These are characteristic actions of a unified body of Christ working together. This is the way we will treat each other. Rejoicing in hope, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. How about that? That hits home with most of us, I think. Tribulation, being patient in it. Continuing instant in prayer, So there's rejoicing involved in life in the body of Christ. And this tribulation, patient in tribulation, I find when things look difficult, look hard, look almost impossible sometimes, I find it helps, a couple things help. Think, I don't know how to put it except the word continuum. Think of your life as a continuum. It could be much, much worse. You could, whatever your situation is, it's not necessarily going to stay that way. It could be, and you could have made other choices earlier in your life that would bring you to a different point where you're not as good off as you are now. So the thing to do, I think, being patient in tribulation, is obey that part of the verse, be patient, and also be thankful for what you have, that you're not worse off, and that you do have, as a believer in Christ, having died for your sins, been buried and resurrected, you do have a bright future in heaven. So rejoicing is involved in the life of the body of Christ. Earlier in the epistle, in Romans 5, verse 5, Paul exhorted that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Romans 12:12, patient in tribulation. There will be tribulation, but we're finding out about the body of Christ, not Israel, descended from Jacob. We know that Jacob descendants have a week of years of tribulation in store for them, but not so for the body of Christ. We in the body of Christ don't have that. Paul says we've been, I'm trying to think of the, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:9, I believe. And I don't have it in my list here in my notes. Let me just look it up so I can give it to you exactly. Here we go. Welcome to the room. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. We're not to go through that 70th week. Okay? Yes, that's okay. That's great that we're not going through the 70th week. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution certainly is a tribulation. It's a trial, a trouble that we go through. But Paul has already told us in Romans 5, verse 3, that not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And what did it say? Be patient in tribulation. Romans 5, 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So this is one of the few places that it says in the future we'll be saved. We are saved now, and we will be saved in the future when these things happen. We're not saved out of the wrath, like it says in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Israel is going to be saved out of the wrath. They'll be in that wrath, that tribulation period, and saved at the end of it. But we're saved from it. We don't go through it. We're saved from going through that. 2 Thessalonians 5, verse, first chapter, verse 5, there we go, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which, now that's different from the kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. This is God's eternal rulership in the universe. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. So we're going to be at rest, not in that tribulation. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's when he comes back to rescue Israel out of the tribulation at the end of the 7 years. At that time, we'll already be in heaven, it says, at rest, not at war, not in Armageddon, not in tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. We know God. We know his grace, and we have accepted it. We've received it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like Alex said in the lesson before, knowing and believing the gospel, hearing and believing the gospel is what counts. Not praying, not waving your arms in worship to the Lord, not whatever else you could substitute there, asking God to come into your dirty heart. No, he doesn't want in your dirty heart. He imputes his righteousness to you so that he can dwell in you. Paul already told us that Jesus already delivered us from the wrath to come. And look at 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Not out of it, but from it. Romans 12:12. Let's go on with the Romans study here. Continuing instant in prayer. Remember, prayer always goes with the Word of God. Praying the Word of God from the dispensation we're in. We are in the dispensation of the grace of God. Romans through Philemon is our doctrine. We pray that. We pray for those that don't understand it, that they will understand it, that they will hear it, that we can make all men see. You know, so reading through Ephesians, if you've read through and studied Romans, Ephesians, I would say, is the next thing to study. And see our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, about praying, pray without ceasing. So going on in Romans now, Romans 12:13, it goes on about a willingness to give. You know, you try and you know, before a person is saved, they try and give for various reasons, often vanity, or I'm not saying everybody is that way, but there are various reasons for people that don't yet have the love of God in their life to try and imitate love. But with Christ in our lives, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Distributing, it says, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints. That's those saints in Jerusalem that gave up all their life savings, laid it at the feet of the apostles to be distributed to the little flock, to the kingdom church there in Acts 2, Acts 4, in early Acts. Given to hospitality. Open your homes to others, being a giver. Being a giver. With your hand open to give, not grabbing and clutching. This applies to us as an attitude of sharing the love of God. But the necessity of the saints at that time included the dire need of those kingdom saints in Jerusalem, who had obeyed and obediently sold all to wait for the kingdom from heaven. Going on in Romans 12, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. That's hard to do, isn't it? That there are those that cause you trouble, and you'd like to curse them. You'd like them to have trouble. That's our flesh. That's not our spirit. Bless them. That's your spirit. It's like a wedding vow. You know, things may be going rough, and you don't feel like loving your spouse, but that's what you vowed. Do it, and you'll find the love comes from the Father, from God in you, dwelling in you. Initiate. Well, you can't initiate. You're passing on God's love. Be blessers. Let not. Don't be a name caller. Don't be frustrated when things don't work out the way we want. When we witness, or when we ambassador, if that's a verb, when we function as an ambassador for Christ, it is frustrating sometimes. But just think how it is for our Lord. He died for them, and they are ignoring him. They're mocking him. They're lying about him and his gospel today. But let us keep being faithful in what we do. Bless and curse not. And now we get to a lot of instructions here in chapter 12 of Romans for the body of Christ in our functioning together among the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Rejoicing has to do with our feelings. Weeping has to do with our feelings. In other words, for saved people, in these situations, feelings do count. Feel with the rest of the body of Christ. Okay, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In the dictionary, condescend means to descend to an attitude less formal. Less formal. In other words, give in. Not on doctrine, but on preference items. Be acceptant. Be inclusive within the body. Not trying to tell people that they can get in the body of Christ without believing the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God today. Again, this does not go against teach no other doctrine. We should not teach any other doctrine than Paul's for us. Now, when we read the rest of scriptures and study it, as we're told to do, we do identify doctrine that's for Israel, outside of Romans through Philemon. But for us, our doctrine is strictly Romans through Philemon, because that's who God sent to us. We weren't sent any 12 apostles. They were sent. Read first 8 verses of Matthew 10. They were only sent to Israel. And when he said, into all the world, he had already told them that they won't get out of Israel with the gospel until he comes back to earth. So it's not to us. Not today. Romans 12:16. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't rely on your experiences, your vision, your things that other people have told you, testimonies you've heard, all man's word. They say you can't argue with a testimony. Well, if the word of God goes against that testimony, believe the word of God. Believe the Bible, not the teacher. Okay? So, stand on what the Bible says, but allow that other people read the same Bible, stand on the same Bible, but they do not see things the same as you see things regarding whether it's past studies or not yet seeing other things in the Bible or from things they have been told in the past, whatever reason, they just do not see things the same as you do. So, verse 16, be not wise in your own conceits. From here, we're going into a little different emphasis in Romans 12. Enter a section of verses about the body of Christ and how it interfaces with the world. Let's start with verse 17 in Romans 12. Recompense to no man evil for evil. There again, that's hard to do. You want to curse them in the flesh. But God gave us a resource. As believers, we have the love of God. And we can love with that love. We can recompense no man evil for evil. We can provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So we're responsible for how we interact with all men, not just with those who are in the body of Christ. It's a given that we should live peaceably with the body of Christ and be acceptant, just as we read. Romans 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't try to take that away from him. We want to avenge ourselves, but that's the flesh. The way to live walking in the Spirit is to avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Let it happen as it will. The Lord is the one that repays. He says, vengeance is mine. We're working through Romans 12, and we're to the last verse in a section here before we get to, before we go on. Let's look at Romans 12, 20. Romans 12, 20 and Romans 12, 21, but first, the 20th verse. Therefore, you understand that means what he's gone through, these acts of love and not returning evil and helping others, because of all that he's been going through, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now Paul's talking about enemies. Who is the enemy in Romans 12:20? There are various situations. War is talked about as an exception to that. If someone breaks into your home and is about to kill your children, that would be an exception to stop them. That's self-defense. In Romans 12, verse 20, in general, as I understand it from the context above, it's talking more about people with differences of doctrine and people that are unsaved, either unsaved or abusive talkers about it, who lie about the Bible. If thine enemy, in that sense, hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It's talking about people that handle the word of God deceitfully, the way I understand it. It means things like when it's talking about an enemy, that's the impact of it. That's what it means. I don't know what the coals of fire mean. I've heard analogies. One would be it makes the other person burn with guilt feelings. Or another analogy I've heard, it refers to when your enemy's home fire goes out in the fireplace or in the cook stove, and he comes to your home for help, and he's your enemy. and you give him some fire to take home. Apparently back then they would carry things on their head, especially very hot things that, you know, heat rises. You don't want it rising up in your face. So that's a possibility too. So let's go to the last section, verse 21. Paul, having started Romans 12, beseeching you to present your body a living sacrifice, he now tells the result of that yielding, the result of yielding as an instrument of righteousness, which, you know, if you remember in Romans 6, 7, and 8, he talks about that's our position now that we're dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. And we've been imputed the righteousness of God. So it means success in the body of Christ. It's one verse here, a simple verse, and it's a great verse to learn. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Think about that. There is a principle. We need to, you know, well, we talked about it earlier in Romans. We mentioned Romans 6, 7, and 8. We compared two verses, and we saw the second verse was the application of the first verse, while the first verse was the foundation that enabled the second verse. And as a reminder, compare these two verses. And then we'll do the same thing with Romans 12:21. Look at Romans 6, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live anymore in it? Okay, but that's the part we're looking at. How shall we that are dead to sin? We believers are dead to sin, crucified with Christ. That's the fact of it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now compare that verse with the application of it in Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead to sin, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is a fact, and there is an application of that fact. In Romans 6:2, you are dead to sin. So because of that, in Romans 6:11, in putting that into practice, you can reckon ye yourselves to be in dead indeed unto sin. All right, well, let's go to Romans 12:21 and see how that applies. God says you can overcome evil. Let me just jump back here. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil. That's where we get it, that we can overcome evil. Overcome evil with good. So, God says you can overcome evil, okay? And he tells you how you can overcome evil with good. So remember that as a believer, overcome evil with good. It only works for a believer, though, for a saved person. We don't, you know, the people that are not saved don't have that Spirit of God within them. They only have the flesh to go by, and they can imitate all they want, but it's not a work of God. So overcome evil with good. It's an application of the facts that we've gone through in the other verses, primarily in Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, it's not talking about death, dying, and going to hell. It's talking to saved people that have believed Romans 1 through 5. So it's talking about, you know, death of your communion with God, or death of your project, whatever it is that You know, you know when you see things growing and full of life, and when it lacks that, it's death. So, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So the application of that fact is to go ahead and yield yourself as his servant of obedience unto righteousness. You are equipped for yielding as an instrument of righteousness. So go ahead and make the choice, as in Romans 12:21, overcome evil with good. Live the life that God enables us and empowers us to do. It is our destiny, being predestined to be conformed unto the image of his Son. So just in closing, here's that final verse again. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The good that overcomes evil is God's righteousness. And as a believer, God's righteousness is credited to us, to our account. It's imputed to us as we believe that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That same grace of God that bringeth salvation also teaches us to live righteously by God's own righteousness within us. Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you have received the gift of salvation, then you have received the gift of righteousness. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, I'm done, and I hope this has been a helpful lesson. Some nuggets in it. Any questions? Any comments?